Tom.
All set?
Yep, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, it's 5:30. I'll start the work session. The first item on the work session is iPads/tablets. Councilor Kourakis.
Yeah, I put this on here just because, you know, with us converting over to Office 365, it would be a lot easier to have an iPad up here instead of all this big work, right? Because we're probably spending an arm and a leg on ink, on paper. With Office 365, you can do everything right from the iPad.
What would the cost of that, the iPads, be?
I would usually ask our town engineer what the cost would be, but no.
I have my computer right up here right now, and I will look up the cost of iPads for you, Jeff.
And it's on a state contract, too, so.
Yeah, and it might be more like tablets because of
tablets.
Office being a Microsoft place.
It could be a Microsoft tablet either. Really doesn't matter.
Yeah,
iPad.
The Surface.
Yeah, Surface.
So using a football game.
Yeah, like $300, I would say.
So, help me, Jeff. What? All right, this thing is sitting here. What do I do with it? What's gonna? This won't be on it.
It's on a computer instead.
All the paperwork for a meeting.
Yes.
And if I want that paperwork, because I'm old fashioned, and I'm not.
You can go home and print it.
I can go home.
Well,
and
we
print
could
it.
Always have it printed for the people who still want it.
Well, it's printed back there anyways.
I mean, I sound like a Luddite that I don't. I mean, I'm on my computer all the time, but it drives me nuts because I end up printing stuff out because I just have to have it in my hands.
Well, some people like the paper part.
Some people like the paper, but you know, you got these, you know, these kids nowadays, they come home with Chromebooks now. They don't come home with textbooks because everything's on their laptop. So we're just trying to get into the 21st century.
You can get the Surface Pro 4, which is a 12.3-inch screen, for like $218.
Yeah.
So is this what the school board does? Is that what they have?
Everybody have laptops.
Yeah,
they have laptops.
They're way much bigger budget.
Yeah.
Well, this would cut
out wireless mics.
If you wanted to talk to the town of Van Buren, just recently did the same thing. Wanted to talk to the town that's done it and see how it worked out for them. I know the planning board, the Van Buren planning board loves them.
You could share documents in there. You got OneNote. You could take notes in there as well, too, instead of writing it. Everything's right there in a central database, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, with OneDrive access with Office 365, we have the ability to move larger documents that were usually burdensome in via email. That, you know, we can load up the tablets.
And you can get your email on there as well, too. One central place. Your town email, that is.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, I'll be more than happy to reach out to Van Buren and look into it, see how it's gone for them.
I'm not against it at all.
So, but like I said, if people still want the paperwork, we're still going to print agendas for the public.
Right. And if you don't like touchscreen, like the Surface, you can get a
keypad
too. If you don't like the touchscreen piece of it,
yeah.
Then I think the keypads are like $80-$90 if it's something that you want.
Or if you don't want to use it, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want
check
to
it out.
Only one night.
I don't want to
check it out. Yeah.
Jack, do you think anybody on your board would be interested if we got them?
I'm sure some would.
You know,
it'd be a lot easier than passing bed sheet mats around up there.
Well, and if they give it, you know, I was talking to Al about this yesterday. If they give us a good file format where you could actually zoom in, it saves the trying to look at a piece of paper or a part of a map up here. Because I've watched it when there's five or seven maps rolling around, and that's all you hear on the microphone.
You know, but also what you hear is if you're talking about a 12-inch screen, that's why people want the hard copy is because you can't read that stuff.
Right.
I mean, especially when you're looking at large maps and stuff. And you can expand it out to look at a certain area. But,
right. Yeah. It would be an option. Yeah.
There's definitely pros and cons. Paperwork is one thing. Maps and stuff like that might be a little more challenging because of their size.
Right.
You know, the other idea that I think would be beneficial to the planning board would be to put a monitor behind the DS that we could put, like when we put the maps on the poster board or the cork board, we could put an electronic image up right up there too, so that you could get a better view of it rather than passing that.
People walking over there.
Yeah.
Something like that is fine.
Yeah, it would be a lot easier to turn around and see it as opposed to pulling it out.
A lot of times the planning board members will get up and go over and either look at the map over there or ask questions.
Well, that's only if they don't have their own copy.
Well, or to point something out if somebody presents something.
We usually let you do that.
Yeah.
We stay up there.
That's why Al sits on that side,
that's
right?
Exactly.
So he's closer to the monitor or the maps.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a problem looking into it, and we'll find out where they've gone with it. Yeah. Okay. Was that it?
Yep.
Okay. Next item. You again, dog control.
Dog control. I know we did touch on this in regards to at the budget time that we should revisit this. I would like to put it out to bid to see what we get, because right now our current dog control is spending $24,000 on a part-time dog control. They're open 10 to 4. They're closed on Sundays. And if you go to the SPCA website, we're not even listed as one of the towns that they service. They list all the other towns except us. So
I think that's a great idea, Jeff.
All right.
Yeah, why not? Put it out to bid.
Yep. Okay.
I'd like people to, when they call, I'd like someone answering the phone.
Exactly.
Do you have any companies or organizations that do it? All right.
No.
I didn't know if you had any ways to start other than maybe doing an RFP.
Just like an RFP out there and just see who's out there.
And really what we're looking for is additional hours.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Weekends. Okay.
Well, yeah, we may discover there's someone out there that,
right.
You know, that would.
I think Carms does Town of Cicero. Like Carms, the guy that owns Carms Doghouse. Across the street. I think he does Town of Cicero.
Okay.
Yeah, because Town of Cicero is not listed under the SPCA. So, yeah, reach out to Carms and see.
Yeah, I can reach out to other towns also.
Yeah,
I think Van Buren.
Having you reach out.
Yeah. Adding to my list. Thank you. I appreciate it. 3. Item 3. Code change recommendations. Mr. Corey.
Well, we've already got too many copies of this. You guys already got the hard copy, right?
Should have been in their mailboxes.
Yep.
And I think Karen emailed everybody.
I'm going to
give you the official hard copy, because I know Bob likes paper.
I like the red print, Jeff. When I printed mine out for my computer, it was just black and white.
Maybe you only have a black and white printer.
No, I
don't know. You never know. Might not have the color ink in there. I'm not sure. I might have set it to black and white, grayscale. Save some money.
It is expensive.
I tend not to print in color. So.
Well, I have a color printer, and there are times when you want to highlight things.
Yeah.
Basically what this is the combination of work that came out of the CLUP update and the ongoing activities of the planning board over the years dealing with various codes and different projects that come in. And we've made these recommendations by section, and what you see here on your paper would be substitute language in some cases to replace one paragraph with another one, like the first one. And then in other cases, inserting new language into the document. And most of this is for clarification. There's a lot on solar, because in dealing with, 5 solar applications, we've run into some challenges and issues with the existing code, and we're recommending that you look at these recommendations. Now, these recommendations are not intended to prevent solar farms from being placed in Lysander, but they do, in our opinion, represent a step forward in the area of how we site them, how we screen them, how we set them back, how we locate them, and what we allow them to be located on. It's just our view. Obviously, when you have time to look at these and compare it to the old code, we'll be prepared to address any questions you might have as to the thinking behind it or the rationale for why we would do this. For example, on this one here, proposed solar farms whose property lines abut residential properties or county town roads should require a minimum setback of 200 feet plus all season screening where needed. If there's sufficient there, you don't need to add more. And at the planning board's discretion, the setback requirement may be greater than 200 feet. Now, there will be instances where, and Lamson Road is probably a good example, Al, where the siting is so good, it's already so far back, so far screened, that these wouldn't necessarily come into play. But we've had some proposals that sort of separate out in the middle of nowhere. And we didn't have the tools in the current code to deal with that the way we might have wanted to. So that's what went behind that suggestion. We're also going to recommend that all solar utility interconnect equipment shall be installed underground or in ground-mounted cabinets with vegetative screening. Multiple pole-mounted pieces of equipment will not be allowed. Now that's a tough one. We have the right to do that, but that's a tough one because then they have to deal with National Grid. And National Grid makes it tough as far as connections and whatnot. Because they'll tell the developer, well, yeah, you can do that, but boy, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. And oh, by the way, you might not get the equipment for 2 years because it's all on back order, you know, type thing. But there's several other towns that have enacted this type of language. And I just think it's a clear message that we're okay with solar farms. We're not necessarily okay with how they're put there. We want them put there in a certain way so they're less obtrusive to the general public.
Excellent.
Okay. Yeah. And right. Just so the public knows, these proposed changes will go up on the town website so people can look them over. Maybe at the next work session, if everybody's comfortable after we've looked at them, we'll talk about it at the work session, and then we'll follow the process. Could you lay out the process, Al?
Yeah, so really it's local law adoption. Obviously, anytime you amend the code, it's a local law adoption. So the town attorney, and probably with some assistance from the planning board attorney, would draft the language for the local laws to update this. You know, or whatever pieces or parts of it the town board wants to adopt or change or add to or anything you want to do, try to do it all in one local law, all the changes in one fell swoop rather than, updating each set of the code as a separate local law. And the local law process is the town attorney drafts a local law, the town board authorizes the town clerk to schedule a public hearing, the town clerk schedules a public hearing, we open the public hearing, we hear all people for and against the local law, and the town board then has the ability to approve or disapprove. Seeker is really a... you do have to do seeker for local laws, but it's generally just a description of the. It is really just a description of the reasoning behind the local law.
Okay,
if you want to do more than one section, amend more than one section, you can do it in one local law. I don't have to separate local laws for each section.
For each section, yes. Okay, because some of these suggestions cover different sections.
Yeah, you can do one, you don't have to, you can do it separately, but if you're going to do a public hearing and you've got two or three, put them together.
Okay. But these are the only...
When you have the public hearing, you have to decide we only want one, that's okay, you know, because the final local law that we adopt will be whatever we adopt. Right. So let's say there's three and you only want to pick one, that's fine.
Okay.
And these are the only changes you're recommending?
That's correct.
Okay. And these are the changes that are as a result of the updated CLUP.
Understood.
So these are reflected in the updates to the CLUP as well. Okay. So these are recommendations essentially directly from the CLUP.
So I would like to discuss some of this language. I would like to discuss it prior to the night that we have a public hearing. We can discuss it tonight if you want, or another time.
The next work session.
That's fine.
Because I want to, if the public has questions, okay. You know, we might want to
okay.
digest yep. it before we yep. go to a public hearing phase.
Right.
And there might be other things that people there, look at. Yeah, well, what yeah. about this?
Yep.
You know, I don't want to rush into it.
Good.
You know, and I think we're all under the understanding with the solar part. My question is, would we have to refer any of this to the county planning or no? Would any of this...
The local law change?
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. Because I just wanted to make sure, you know, that they didn't have to review it or okay it with the solar. So that's our responsibility. Okay.
If it's changed to the zoning lab, double check on that.
Yeah.
Because you went through that with a warehouse where it changes on the wall. And that was
right.
one of the issues you want to use
the Yeah. Yeah. But we'll take our time with it and do it right. And right now we have a current moratorium on solar that's set to expire in April. And I think right now we're not gonna meet that timeline. We're probably looking we'll extend that before it expires for the time for this process to play out. Because there's changes to the solar law we want to make. And Al, has on the battery end, has the state given any guidance?
I don't even know if the commission's met.
Okay.
I know she formed a commission and announced who was working on it, but I don't know. I haven't seen, I signed up for notifications actually through the governor's website, but I haven't gotten any notifications that's anything moving forward. So.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. The next, was there any other questions from the public on any of those last couple of topics? Okay. The next item was permit fees, Councilor Gerasi.
So, Al, you may not have thought anybody would read this, but I read it.
I'm glad you did. It's a very good article.
It's a great article.
It's a very good article.
So I had a brief conversation with our attorney, Tony Revisigno, and my reason for putting it on the work session is to just see if we can get a meeting of the minds in terms of what our next step should be. Yeah, I thought it was a good article, but my eyes started to glaze over in terms of the legal terms that were in this article. And the recommendation, and I'll speak for Tony, but we kind of were both concluding that we ought to set up a task force that would be comprised of our attorney, the planning board attorney, the planning board chair, Jack, probably Al, one or two of us, to just discuss this and make sure that we're all on the same page and that we do understand if this has any ramifications for us. And just so the left hand knows what the right hand is doing. So my only discussion point tonight is to ask if there's some consensus that we ought to meet and talk about it.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
I didn't read through all the 8 pages of it, but
I did.
I think yes, I know.
You might have a little more time.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're going to be the great person to be the chair of this.
No,
yeah. So, Jeff's already—they're already putting more stuff on my plate.
There was just an amendment to the town law that deals with specifically these fees. I just got it tonight. So it pertains to what we're talking about. Not to the depth of that article. That article is a law review article, basically. But that doesn't say this, that, or the other thing.
No.
It says the court did this, the court did that, and it kind of leaves everything else up in the air.
Yes.
Changing the law is a little bit more definitive, and I'll get copies to you.
All right, so Jack, any thoughts, input in terms of a desire to?
I think it would be worthwhile to get a group together.
Okay.
And what, so the public knows, there was our engineer sent a link to an article for us, and we might be able to get this on the website for people to see. It's through NISBA, and it's Municipal Lawyer Section, to fee or not to fee, and it's the principles regarding impact fees. It covers recreation fees and lieu of parks fees.
Instead of zoning was really the piece that I wanted everybody to look
right.
at.
Right, yeah.
That's the one that really,
it changed my mind on it.
The most important piece of it.
And it gives a lot of opportunities and options for towns or municipalities to put fees on, but also raises the questions on the legality of them and how far is too far. So
CHA did do the Town of Malta's impact fees development, and we did a environmental impact study. It was a very in-depth process to get that across the finish line, and so far it hasn't been challenged that I'm aware of. And the developers have accepted it, and it's worked well. We have some experience in this. If it's something the town wants to move forward or has a specific current concern that they feel is worthwhile to address through development district fee.
So in terms of next step, all right, I'll volunteer to be a part of this. Does anybody else on the board want to be a part of this?
Jeff?
No.
Councilor Kuzakis?
What?
Yeah, there's nobody to left you anymore, buddy. Not yet. You keep looking.
And then the second
I'll do it with you, Bob.
And the second recommendation is business hours work for everybody? I mean, your attorney, you, and does that work for you, Jeff? Mm-hmm. All right, and Tony, obviously. All right, so we'll try to set something up in the next few weeks to get together. Okay, that'd be great. Okay.
Well, what are these fees that you're talking about?
The developer fees.
Oh, okay.
Fees for paid people. By developers.
Okay.
Right. When people come in for incentive zoning or for solar or, a developer wants to build a development. We have an Alua Parks fee, but this is also talking about additional fees that could be.
And it's not just those. I mean, we have an in lieu of parks fees for every development, correct? I mean, it's
every
subdivision. So
right.
I just want to make sure we're dotting the I's and crossing the T's correctly.
Does Radisson, if you build in Radisson, do they pay into the in lieu of parks fees?
They do not.
No.
Why?
Because they already provide their own green space and parks. So they preserve 10% of their land for green space.
Okay.
Yeah, PUDs
do not pay into it.
They don't tend to have too many people.
Does Timber Banks have green space?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
They got
a golf course. I know. I understand they have a golf course. But, I mean, Radisson has, like, pocket parks and playgrounds.
No, they actually have a town trail that's at the back of Timber Banks that goes from the southern edge of the property to the northern edge of the property. Mm-hmm. And so far the developer has been maintaining that, and I know the residents over there use it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know, I haven't looked at Timber Banks that close to know if there was ever like a green space area, like Radisson. You drive, usually inside an area there's a green space, whether it's attached to the ponds or, the drainage ponds or a mini playground off the path. And the times I've gone through Timber Banks, and Timber Banks is sort of in its infancy of development. Is it not? But
it's past its infancy now. I would say
and I haven't really driven by any. Oh, there's a playground.
And they did not propose any playgrounds. I believe that community was designed after the model that is built in the south of a golf course community. And
okay.
It's envisioned as, we'll say, empty nester community, maybe is a way to say it.
Okay. Very good. Were there Any other questions from the public tonight? Doesn't have to be about agenda items, because the agenda's going to go pretty fast, so I was going to try to get all the questions out of the way now if anybody had any.
But you got MS4 on here?
Oh, the MS4, yes. I put that on there at the last item, at the last meeting. We have to sign the, I have to sign the notice of
intent.
Mm-hmm. But after talking to Tony, it's not, we didn't know if we'd have to make a motion.
Okay.
But it's really just a process of signing. It's, you know, we're part of the MS4 plan. So that wasn't a big deal. I put it on there in case we would have had to require a motion, but we do not.
Okay. We don't.
No.
Kevin, I'll help you with the RFP for the dog control.
Okay. That's good. And we'll see. We did have an issue this week that we're going to see with dog control. We'll see how that goes with the new people in at the SPCA. So, but I know it has been an issue.
We had a new issue this week, you said?
Yeah. It's been a dragging issue for a while, but we'll see if we can get it rectified. So, but it's a process, and that's where, you know, they have to be served, and, you know, and you have to be at the door to be served, and it's not a simple process. So, or the dogs have to be out to be able to get them.
Very simple.
But okay, that concludes our work session. 5:56 p.m. and we will start the meeting at 6:30. Thank you.